Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello and welcome along to the 105 Football Weekly Podcast, a new podcast here on Cambridge 105 Radio, full of the latest news, best interviews and analysis from Cambridge 105 Radio's football shows in the last 7 days. My name is Ollie Slack, and coming up in today's show, we have an interview with Cambridge United's new chief executive, Ian Maver, on his ambitions in the role, the stadium plans, future investment and the current transfer structure at United. Also coming up on today's show, we have the latest opinions and debate from the terraces. Last Sunday, I was in the chair covering for Tim Armitage, and Pete Young joined me in the studio, Matt Lockwood on the phone, to discuss Cambridge United's nil draw with Newport County last Saturday. Pete Young also was out and about on Sunday afternoon watching Cambridge City Ladies' final match of pre-season up against Peterborough United, and he caught up with manager Tim Rapley afterwards. We'll be hearing that interview later on in the podcast. And also we've got an interview with St Neots Town boss Mark Abbott. St Neots get their season underway this Saturday away to Bedworth United. And Mark Abbott joined me on the Cambridgeshire Football Show last week to chat about their pre-season and the first fixture of the campaign. But first, the only place to start is with the latest interview I gathered with a number of the local press at the Abbey Stadium with Cambridge United's new chief executive, Ian Maver, appointed just for a year on an interim basis, but we caught up with him to discuss his ambitions in the role, his plans for future stadium development, some investment that might be coming into the use, and the current transfer structure at the club. This is what he had to say when we said, why now for a chief exec?
The real answer is we found there was a gap. There was a position in the senior management team which needed to be filled. We left it open for 18 months. We tried the business model of having the board as a non-exec board filling the gap, and we just found it wasn't really working in terms of we could make it more joined up. And the board wanted to have somebody as chief exec. So I have responsibility over all aspects of the club, and like in any business, you know, if you've got organized a business in sections, they tend to work in sections, and actually as a whole it is more effective, and that's my job, to make it work as a whole.
I guess the kind of interesting question is kind of what are the kind of targets of?
So I mean, I've already talked, we had a whole staff meeting here this week, and we talked about the five pillars that we have set ourselves out to achieve. So the first is about being a sustainable club that's well run, well managed. And in harsh terms, what does that mean? It means that we are going to be here next season, the season after that, season after that. We're not going to be Bolton or Bury or Notts County, all of whom have had significant problems, and others. So working within our means, but achieving the best we can. So that's number one priority. Number two is to continue with our academy so that we can produce talented players. That's A, for our team, but also as a means of generating revenue by selling good players, developing them and selling them. That's an acknowledged model in football, so we're committed to our academy. The third thing is being engaged with the community, so not only through the community trust, but also players going out there and engaging with the community. We've got an event on Saturday where we're celebrating the life of a young lad. That's, I think, good engagement with the community, with our fans. So embedded in the community. Fourth is the stadium, to play in a purpose-built stadium within this area, which will be available for future generations of Cambridge United fans to go and cheer. And the last is to have best in class engagement with fans. And we've already made movement in that this year. We've got the Cambridge United supporters panel. We've had a first meeting of those of people last month, which went down very well. So more of that, really, real engagement.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, in terms of, in your statement when it was announced, you said you wanted to make a positive contribution. What does that look like in your head in terms of like a year's time or years from now?
I think it would represent this club really working effectively internally. And it's, that suggests that we're not doing that at the moment. But I think any organisation that's gone through a lot, which this has, of some financial difficulty, some change at the top with the chairman and chief exec leaving 18 months ago. It's about bringing stability, organisation, working closely with each other. What I have seen is a group of very talented, hard-working staff who are highly motivated to do the best they can for this football club. It is just, I think, a question of pulling it together and making it work a bit smoother. I use the analogy of Dave Brailsford and marginal gains. And I think there are a number of marginal gains we can have, which, if we can pull them all off, just make this place feel as though it's humming a bit smoother than it does.
And also in terms of, I guess, previous chief exec have had a bit more of an active involvement in terms of the football side of things. Will that be a stance you'll take as well, or were you happy that the current structure deals with the football operations separately?
I said in the staff meeting a couple of days ago that I clearly have a view on who should be playing on Saturday, but my view is irrelevant, because my view is just a fan's view. We have professionals who do that, Mark Bonds and Colin. They determine what happens on the pitch. Ben Strang, who does, I believe, a great job in helping pull people in, he will work with Colin and work out who comes in. That's their job. My job is to facilitate them doing the best they can on the pitch. So we'll look at catering for the players, transport arrangements for players. We want to make it as smooth as we can so they can go and do the business on the pitch.
You mentioned sort of Joe Shell, Paul. Where are the club with Mr. Fowles announced at the shareholders meeting? Has there been any sort of update that you can kind of provide?
We're working away. I've just been on a call now. We are working. We believe that we have a solution which we need to put to the shareholders, but that will work through in the next 4 weeks, I think.
So the concept of the stadium, rather than the site, you're just looking at those as you go along with time.
The idea for the stadium is when we can build it. The plan is to do it on a Greenfield site. That looks like the leading project at the moment, is to build a purpose-built stadium with a capacity larger than we've got at the moment, that would be recognised by fans as a high-quality venue. It'd be a football stadium, it won't be a bowling alley and all other things. It will be a stadium built for football, but with the ability to have other events there. So that's why we think about a multi-use stadium. Actually, Spurs, interestingly, to take an extreme example, their pitch moves under the stadium seating area, and underneath there is an American Football League pitch. And the changing rooms are designed for American football because they're bigger. So if you have in mind what it is you want to create, you can do it, and we have that opportunity when we get to that stage.
And then just, finally, update on the training ground in regards of where you are with that. And
Training ground discussions continue with Marshall and Hill, who are jointly building the Marley development. They're being very constructive and helpful, there are outline designs for that. It principally be a first team training ground, but there would be access for the academy, and there may be wider access. There is a question of how we fund the additional cost that's associated with the spec that Cambridge United would need to make it a training ground.
And then just finally, just to, I guess, fill in all the blanks, you also mentioned the statement that Henry Comfort has left. In terms of who will fill his role, will it be, I guess, someone come in, or I guess will you pick up some of his responsibilities?
Henry, a word on Henry. He's done a great job here. He's done amazing work in lots of different areas. He was responsible for our new kit and also the competition to get that in. So Henry's role will in part be absorbed by me. It will also in part be absorbed by a number of other people across the board.
And what do you kind of see as the kind of biggest challenge at the minute? Is it like, is the practical side of like getting the stadium, so we're getting the get progress of the investors, or is it more of a kind of existential kind of trust element of a fan base kind of back on side, which maybe waned slightly over the past 18 months?
I think there's a whole range of things. I'm not going to pick on one thing. I want to cover all of those bases and move them all forward. I definitely think, you know, the fans didn't have a great season last season. I watched nearly every game and it wasn't as enjoyable as it could be. And I really hope this season the fans have something to cheer about and we get more of them into the ground and they make a lot of noise. Seeing what Collins pulled together, I was there at the Bradford game. It seemed like a different team to me. I'm quite hopeful for the season.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
So that was Ian Mafer, Cambridge United's new chief executive, interim chief executive, talking to myself and a number of the local press at the Abbey Stadium, answering a number of questions about the ambitions he has at the club and other things as well, like the investment and future stadium plans and training ground facilities as well. A really great interview and a really great bloke as well. Ian Mafer was a really classy gentleman. Right, up next then on the 105 Football Weekly podcast is the debate and opinions from the terraces. Myself, Pete Young and Matt Lockwood were in the studio on Sunday discussing Cambridge United's 0-0 draw against Newport County, and Matt was saying it was pretty tricky conditions with the wind swirling around.
It was one of those games where if you had the wind with you, obviously you were going to be in the ascendancy, and you know, the first half Newport were on top of us and, you know, playing the good football that they can play, you know, getting balls into the box, and they've got, you know, two of the best strikers in the league in Pedric Armand and Jamil Matt, who are a handful for, you know, most of the game, and we dealt with it really well, actually, it has to be said. You know, I thought, you know, in the first half we were defensively strong, they got plenty of corners, I lost count, to be honest, Ollie, because it was racking up very, very quickly in the first half. But, you know, we dealt with it really, really well, and it was pleasing to see that, you know, coming under that sort of pressure. And we spoke about it before. We've learned to deal with, you know, being under pressure, you know, dealt better with corners, with crosses coming into the box. You know, we look more organised, more defensively strong. And, you know, in the second half, we tried to get our game playing. You know, the left-hand sides with Luke Hannon and Dan Jones were getting forward really well, especially Dan Jones, who was rightly man of the match, although I think Luke Hannon wasn't too far behind him, actually. And, you know, so it was a close one. But, they, you know, we just didn't get the rub of the green. We really struggled to create chances again, which has been our downfall for the past two games. But a clean sheet, you know, I think it will come. But, you know, we're just struggling just a little bit in front of goal. As I say, defensively, absolutely fine. But, you know, the games are won at the other end of the pitch, and we just haven't quite got that sort of quality and that creativity down the other end to get something more.
Yeah, it's really interesting that, and we'll come on to the fact that the Ewes aren't really scoring many goals in just a bit, and also the fact that they're not conceding too many either. The big talking point going into the match was obviously the Liam O'Neill red card in the previous week against Bradford, who would play in the middle of midfield. Obviously, Sammy Carruthers still not yet signed, Gary Deegan out as well. He went with George Maris and Paul Lewis, did Colin Coldwell. Did the combination work well?
It did, and it didn't. Paul Lewis went in front of the back four, which we thought he might have done, and he had a good battle with Josh Labadie, who's a very good midfielder for this league as well. And he dealt with him really, really well, I thought. A bit loose with his passing at times, got booked again, which is no surprise. You know, he does quite like a booking, but Paul Lewis, so it wasn't a surprise to see him get booked. But, yeah, he worked hard in front of the back four, as I say, is passing needs a little bit more work, which I think he will. And I think he's more of a player that likes to get forward. You know, he likes to make a sort of late run into the box and, you know, get on the end of crosses. And hopefully, you know, getting people back in and around the team might allow him to do that. George Maris, he looks a little bit short of match practice. He did okay. Didn't have his shot is 30, 40-yard shot, you know, in front of the NRE, which we were all crying out for, you know, that we really, really hoped we wouldn't see again. But, you know, he did okay. He certainly wasn't the weakest player in midfield. But, you know, unsurprisingly, Reggie Lamb was definitely the weak part of the midfield yesterday. Every time we tried to build some momentum in the second half going forward, every time we got it out onto our right-hand side, we just really slowed the play down. We didn't get down the line. We kept cutting inside. I think, you know, with people coming back, you know, perhaps Tom Knowles is worth a chance at some point if Samir Kravis does come in, which, you know, we hope we get the deal done before, you know, Saturday's game against Colchester. You know, he adds a little bit of creativity, which, you know, he can sit in front of the back four like he did in the Ipswich friendly. And, you know, he looks forward for the pass, and, you know, he's got a bit of a footballing brain on him. So it's one of those. But yeah, I think the weakest of the four midfielders, you know, is Reggie Lamb. I think we need to look at maybe even moving him behind the front two strikers, possibly, you know, just to try and get him in the game a bit more, cause so he doesn't slow the momentum sort of going out towards the wide areas.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if Colin does bring in some of the likes of Tom Knowles, one of the younger players who has stayed with the squad and not gone out on loan. Lynch, he has got in touch. He sent his email to us in full this time. He says, unfortunately, the weather didn't exactly help the game yesterday. It wasn't the best of games, and it really would have only taken one goal from either side to win the game. He said, the left-hand side of the pitch is a lot stronger than the right. He said, Hallett was brilliant. He also mentioned the fact that Reggie Lamb was probably the weak link. He did say that Mark Richards now makes Jabo Abira look like Usain Bolt. so we'll ask Matt a bit about that. He said, it's also going to take a bit of time for our strikers to link up, so I'm hoping the goals will come soon. Anyway, 2-0 completed, only another 44 games to go to just about stay up. So nice and positive, Lynchy. Well, we like that. If you want to get in touch, you can do 07919 070 490 or studio@cambridge105.co.uk. So Lynchy mentioned Mark Richards made his debut, came on for Jabo Abira. Something we've spoken about a lot was how Richards brought in to use when Jabo Abira, I guess, probably wasn't fit, or he's a like-for-like replacement to Jabo in a match. It really does seem at the minute like Colin Calder is trying to figure out his best, maybe not best 11, but best forward line, and how he can really create these chances. Let's bring in Pete Young then, who's joining us in the studio today. Pete, how does Colin Calder go about striking that balance between, obviously, goals and trying to keep them out the back of the net, because they seem to be doing that very well at the minute, but obviously drawn two blanks in the last two games.
Exactly, as you say, it's they've been doing all right at the back, Cambridge United, and That's a tough thing to master in the Football League. It is an absolute slog of a division, 46 games, and keeping points at the back is something you need to do. However, if these goals don't start coming through and you're stuck here with 0-0s and 0-0s become 1-0s, then it's looking like a slippery slope down the bottom of the table. But I think it's just fine, and it's a matter of finding the right balance up front, the right combinations. It looks like he's going to go for a two up front, Calderwood. And yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see how it pans out.
Yeah, definitely will. It'd be really interesting to see how Colin goes about it. And Matt, how do you think they can strike this balance? Because we're obviously, some say we might be overreacting after two games into the season, but Cambridge weren't blessed with goals last season either. And now with five strikers at his disposal, you'd have hoped that they might have at least netted already. They didn't score, of course, in the pre-season matches as well. Is it just a matter of time, or are we being slightly hasty?
I think it will come in the end. I think Samir Carruthers coming into the team will help. I think at home as well, one of the things that we lacked yesterday was width on the pitch. And I'd like to see sort of Harrison Dunk come on, or Tom Knowles, just to offer that little bit of something else. I think Luke Hannon's absolutely fine, and you know you can move him about, you know, on either side, and I have to say he's a little gem of a player that we've got there. I think, you know, the past two games I've seen in him, he's been, you know, right up there as one of our best players. And you know, he runs his socks off, he works hard, you know, pressing back as well to help out his fullback. He's good for the overlap as well. He'll sit in and help out when Dan Jones was going forward yesterday. You know, he linked up really well. So I think, you know, with him as an option as a sort of right midfielder, left midfielder, you know, putting Harrison Dunk on, you know, even if it's sort of for half an hour in the second half, or, you know, starting one, you know, taking them off after 60 minutes and, you know, same Tom Knowles, you know, just give him a go to see what he can do. You know, he can't be a bright prospect for forever. You know, it's time to get him on the pitch and see what he can do at this level. Mm. And I think that at home would definitely help for sure. I think that's something that we do lack. You know, Colin's talked about, you know, going at teams and, you know, trying something a little bit different away from home. This diamond formation seems to be okay. It worked last week at Bradford, yep. Who, you know, I think will definitely be up there come the end of the season. But at home, you've got to go and attack teams, and that's something that we didn't do last year. We didn't probably do the season before either, and we haven't done for quite a while. And you know, your home form is where you want to pick up your 3 points. You know, it's your fortress first and foremost. And anything you can pick up away from home is always going to be a bonus. And I think, you know, we've got the squad to be a little bit better away from home than what we were last year. But it's the home form that, you know, we definitely need to go and, you know, crack and score goals very, very quickly. And, you know, one of the options as well, I think, is perhaps play all five strikers up front, all out attack, and see how well we get on there as well. Cause, you know,
that is a cracking idea.
If two of them can't score, maybe, you know, all five might have a chance. So we'll see. But, you know, I think Colin knows what he wants. And I think, you know, hopefully we're looking for a loan with Carruthers and then a lone winger maybe. And hopefully that will be the squad settled and we'll go from there.
Yes, the Premier League and Championship transfer window shut in the week, but the rest of the Football League and many around Europe actually is still going on till August 31st or around that sort of time. And Matt, despite what we do say about obviously not being able to score many goals at the minute, Cambridge, we have to, I guess, factor in the fact Newport and Bradford may well be the top two this season. They could easily, they are two very good sides in League Two, I'm sure, and we could be looking at this result come May or the last two results and thinking, wow, we did brilliantly to pick up a couple of points there. But we do seem to be keeping the ball out the back of the net, and when Colin came in last year after Joe Dunn, he really did seem to shore up that back five, really, the goalkeeper and the four defenders. He's almost taken up another notch this year.
Yeah, I think he has, and as I say, they're two very good points, you know, overall in the end, in the grand scheme of things. So there's no doubt Bradford will be up there by the end of the season. And Newport, of course, were in the playoff finals last year, and, you know, they're a good side. And the start that was handed to us, it wasn't the best of starts. You know, if you could have wished for a more worse start, it'd probably these two, and obviously Colchester coming up on Saturday. There were three of the teams you'd probably want to avoid early on in the season. But, you know, at the end of the day, we've done well. Our link-up play looks a lot better. The football, when we've played our football, has looked a lot better. The organisation's absolutely fine. You know, they've gelled very, very quickly at the back when you consider, you know, Dan Jones is a new full-back, but spent, you know, most of the pre-season with us, which is good. You know, Collins obviously had a look at him and thought, you know, he's good enough to start. And as we've said before, last season, you know, anybody's a better standard of left back than what Jake Carroll was, and, you know, he just wasn't good enough for this level. And but Dan Jones is impressing already, and Kyle Knoll unfortunately got injured yesterday, which is a shame, but looks, you know, really good right back. You know, he was Swindon's player of the year last season, and you can see a good player in him. And it's a blow for us, but it gives Leon Davies a chance, obviously, to come in and stake his claim for, you know, as long as Kyle's out. And if he works hard enough, you know, Kyle will have a battle on his hand to stay in. I think, you know, hopefully once Kyle comes back, Leon might go and play right wing, because I think he's got very good delivery on him, which is something that we can probably work on, you know, going forward throughout the season. But yeah, the organisation is very, very good. Everybody seems to know what they're doing in the middle of the park. You know, they're working very hard. They're working 10 times harder than what they did last year. And the good thing is, you know, they're working for each other. They look like a team. You know, they look, you know, a team, instead of a team of individuals like they were at times last year. You know, they look a squad of players that want to work hard for themselves, you know, for the other players and for the football club. And it all bodes well. And as I say, if we start and just score that one goal, hopefully, you know, a few more might just come in, because we have been sound under Colin for the, you know, sort of almost half a season coming up to a season, you know, in December when he got appointed. So it's never been a worry, you know, defensively as such. You know, he shored that up very well. But it's all about scoring goals, because that's what wins games of football. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we can work on that in the next few weeks at least.
Cambridge 105 Radio. So that was the From the Terraces team, myself included on it this week, with Pete Young and Matt Lockwood discussing Cambridge United's nil-all draw with Newport County last Saturday. Up next, Pete Young in the action again. He watched Cambridge City Ladies last Sunday before he came into the studio to chat with the Terraces team. He watched Cambridge City Ladies up against Peterborough United in their final pre-season match of the summer. They were victorious 4-3, were Tim Rapley's Ladies. And Pete caught up with Tim after the match. This is what he had to say.
Ely City Football Club with Cambridge City Ladies manager Tim Rapley speaking after this afternoon's final pre-season friendly game against Peterborough United. Tim, are you satisfied with today's performance?
Yeah, I thought it was quite a good game, actually. It's the probably the toughest game we've had of our pre-season matches. Peterborough, I thought, would be decent, and they proved to be the case. Had some very good players, actually, on display today. But no, it was good. It was always nice to get a win. I think it was 4-3, I think, the final score. So we're unbeaten in our pre-season, which is always quite nice. There's lots and lots of things to work on, I'm absolutely sure about that. But there's also quite a few positives as well.
They tend to say that pre-season results tend not to matter, but a good win like that against a well-established side like Peterborough, it must be good for your mindset and your confidence going into the season.
Yeah. I think we all think pre-season, it doesn't matter about the result, but I think ultimately when the ladies and the girls are out on the pitch and as a management team and coaching team, you still want to win the game. I think it's just the way we are. So I'm much happier, shall we say, winning the game than losing the game. But of course, it means absolutely nothing in terms of league positions or points. All the big stuff starts next Sunday.
Absolutely. And the changing system after the break to the two up top, was that something that was forced, or is that something you might be looking to utilise later on in the season? Yeah.
We're a little bit light on numbers today. We had a few players away for various reasons, so we couldn't sort of perhaps play as we normally would. We did change it around, as you've observed there. It was more about the personnel that we had and where their strengths are, so that's why we went to that formation. But it seemed to work quite well.
Lovely stuff. And has there been a change in approach to your to the way you're going about this in pre-season, or are you continuing from the sort of methods and approach that got you up into the next division in the first place?
Yeah, I don't think a huge amount has changed. We've pretty much got the same players. There's a couple of new players out there today. Carly, that we've recently signed, is a great player, in my opinion. She gives us something a little bit different, a bit of a different dynamic in the team. But ultimately, these games are about trying to get minutes into the people, just get their sort of touch ready, their fitness up to a decent level, so we can hit the ground running away at Leighton Orient on Sunday.
As we say, looking ahead to the season, step up in divisions, but how do you feel you've prepared for that? Are you feeling confident, you and your squad, going into that?
I think our preparation has been good. We've got out of it what we wanted to. Of course, there is no sort of mirroring exactly what it's going to be like come the start of the season. We all know within the club that we're taking a step up to a different level. We know there's going to be some big challenges ahead for all of us, coaching staff and players alike. But yeah, I think we're in a decent position at the moment, but only time will tell.
And finally, looking forward, what can we expect from you this season? Expectations from the gaffer?
My expectations, I'd be quite pleased if we're having this conversation next year and we're still in the same league that we're in. But yeah, let's wait and see. It's going to be interesting. I say it's going to be tough, it's going to be challenging, but I think the main thing will be to be in this division next year.
Survival the aim. Thank you very much, Tim. All the best for the season.
Thank you. Cheers.
Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
That was Pete Young there of Cambridge 105 Radio talking to Cambridge City Ladies manager Tim Rapley after their 4-3 victory over Peterborough United in their final pre-season match of the summer. They get their campaign underway this Sunday away to Leighton Orient in the South East Division 1 of the Women's National League. Moving on then, and finally on today's 105 Football Weekly podcast, St Neots Town boss Mark Abbott chatted to me on the Cambridgeshire Football Show last week about their pre-season and the big fixture this weekend against Bedworth United. They get their season underway on Saturday. Mark said he's had a busy summer.
Very much so. It's been a productive pre-season. We sort of set the schedule and set the game programme to a varied sort of way. So we had some real tough fixtures in there. We've had some fixtures where we can sort of look to dominate the ball and dominate games and stuff. So yeah, it's been great to get the new lads involved, and the atmosphere's a good one at the moment. There's some bright characters in the change room. Training's definitely upped the intensity, the quality. It's definitely been upped. So yeah, at the moment, like we're ready and looking forward to getting started.
Nice, good to hear. And in terms of pre-season, I believe 4 wins, 1 draw, and 3 losses. Losses against higher opposition, though. Biggleswade, MK Dons, and Peterborough Sports. So no disrespect there. But you must be pretty pleased, I guess, after the bump coming down last season, how you guys have fared in pre-season.
Absolutely, yeah. As I say, we wanted to play a team like Peterborough Sports to see where we're at. That was a tough fixture. I thought they were a very good side. We had a real heavy start to pre-season in terms of games. So that was one where we went into it a little bit light. However, the Biggleswade one, again, for sort of 60 minutes until sort of the typical pre-season changes occurred, we were very much in the game and competing and actually giving a good Biggleswade team lots of times to think about, which was positive going forward. And then obviously, as you said, the Milton Keynes game was a bit of a showcase game for us, because like the lads got an opportunity to play against League One players and some ex-championship players in there. So that whole day was a real great day for the club and great day for our young players to experience playing against that type of quality. So yeah, as you said, we've had a good range of fixture, and yeah, we obviously won't read too much into results at the moment. We obviously want to get our style and our way of playing and being sort of, yeah, working on individual players and yeah, that's been a positive.
Yeah, certainly so. And in terms of the squad transitioning from last season to this season, it was a very, very young squad towards the back end of last campaign. And if the article I read was up to date in the week, only 4 of those guys remain from last year. In your squad, is it a nice blend of youth and experience, or have you still got that really young core that you had last year?
I don't think it's as young. There's obviously still some young, hungry players in there, and players that are aspiring to play higher as well. But I think we've added carefully. I think target-wise, we identify players very early on. And yeah, we've been successful with that because of the appeal of the club and the setup and the whole structure. So that's been pleasing. We've also added a few people with a bit more non-league experience. So not old in age, around the 26, 24 mark, but we feel as though they'll help the younger players who have come to us and were here sort of last year and are still currently in the youth setup. So yeah, the mix is good. And as I say, the intensity and the quality has been lifted massively due to the quality of player we've brought in.
Yeah, and when players have, I guess, come to you and deciding where they're going to sign, have you had to sell them your vision, your ambition and your project, where you want to take St Neots Town? Because obviously coming to a club that have been relegated, I guess you've got to put to them where you want to take the club and your ambition and your dreams. Has that been the case?
A little bit. I think the history in the background and that St Neots has got from previous is huge. So I think there hasn't been too much of a sell there. I think we've painted a picture for the players early in terms of, look, St Neots is a very different club now in terms of finance and stuff. So, I mean, we've been totally honest with the players and upfront. And actually, they realise that this is probably the correct club for them to maintain standards that they've set themselves, whether they're at pro clubs or youth teams or coming out of pro contracts. So they want to maintain them standards, which is great. But also they want to be competitive as well. So there's a real good mix there. People want to get better along with looking to win games of football this season. So yeah, it's as I say, the blend is great and the player aspirations still very strong here.
And I guess it's like we talked about much about last season, really. You can look at it in two ways. The positive way being the opportunity is there to take St Neots back to where they really belong, and it's a great opportunity that you're offering them. In terms of getting a good start to the season, how important do you think that will be, Mark, given obviously the run of results that happened last season? Do you think it's crucial to get off to a quick start?
Oh, absolutely. I think whatever league you're in, I think the teams that have a good start maintain that. Yeah, so I think it's with us gathering momentum early doors. There ain't loads of fixtures early on. Normally it's quite relentless in terms of Saturday, Tuesday, but there's a bit of break in between games, which will give us a great opportunity to continue to work on the 3G that we have here. And yeah, I think with us, it's a little bit of an unknown this season. We're going to play against teams that are very competitive, i.e. House Owens. They've recruited really well, recruited some strong players from Step 3. So there's teams there that are looking to go up, but there's also teams which we feel as though, look, we've got a sort of an advantage over in terms of player quality, and a little bit of know-how from Step 3. So hopefully that blend will definitely help us see sort of where we're going early, but we want momentum.
Yeah, certainly do. And are you going to pinpoint exactly on local radio where you want to finish your specific aims, or have you not got a real specific target in mind? Is it, I guess, take it game by game and see where you end up, or is there a definite objective this season?
No, I think the club have been brilliant. They've not put any pressure on us as a first team setup. We've obviously got our own sort of aspirations in-house. But yeah, we're also very realistic. Like, we want to be competitive. Also, I think, like, with the younger players, you're going to have a bit of a, it won't be a straight journey. It'll be a little bit of a bumpy journey, which we understand that's going to be the case. But we feel as though we can sort of compete in the level, definitely. 100% sure.
So that's it this week for the 105 Football Weekly podcast. I hope you enjoyed the listen. Just to let you know what's coming up on Cambridge 105 Radio sport-wise in the next few days. On Saturday, I'm back in the chair for the Cambridgeshire Football Show, previewing all the weekend's football action as the U's travel to Colchester and Cambridge City get their league season underway, as do Histon as well. And then later on Saturday, Jack Swindlehurst is in the studio for the results show. Him and the team react to the afternoon's football scores across Cambridgeshire, bringing you all the local grassroots scores as they come in as well. And then next Wednesday, From the Pavilion is back, looking at all the local cricket scene. And then we go again for the football once again when the weekend comes around. Make sure you catch the 105 Football Weekly podcast next week with more news, analysis and debate from Cambridge 105 Radio's football shows. Thanks very much for listening. I've been Ollie Slack. I hope you've enjoyed the listen, and make sure you catch us once again very soon.